We will start with the ISB update, and I'm just going to see if I can get the slides up for you, if you bear with me one moment. Hopefully everyone can see that. You'll be relieved to know we're going to take a lot of these slides as read. Obviously, I'm happy to answer questions on any of the material in here. But my intention is this morning that we'll concentrate particularly on three specific areas. So we have members of our technical team here who are from the PFS, the Primary Financial Statements Project, to give you an update on the board's re-deliberations in terms of that project. We'll also look at some of the preliminary views that have come out of the agenda consultation. And importantly, this will be your last opportunity to have your say, to influence that consultation. So please don't hold back. And then we'll spend perhaps a little bit of time just on last week's announcement with the establishment of a sister board, the International Sustainability Standards Board. But just to begin with, if we just look at the overall profile of the board's work, I'm just seeing if I can move forward on these slides. Bear with me. One moment. Here we go. So there's a change in the shape of the board's work, which has started. You'll be aware that we've had a very busy period in terms of consulting stakeholders, and we're very grateful for the contributions that all of you had made to those consultations. But that period is coming to an end. We still have three standard-setting projects where the consultation periods are open, but they will shortly, certainly within the next 3 months, be closing. We have just begun consultation on the first stage of the post-implementation review of IFRS 9, looking at classification and measurement, and then later this month we'll be publishing two exposure drafts, one on supply finance arrangements and one on the classification of debt. But beyond that, there's not a huge amount in the pipeline. And so we move to a stage where actually the focus of the work of the board becomes much more on re-deliberating and taking account of the feedback that we've heard in terms of comment letters and outreach. These are the existing projects where the board is re-deliberating or on the verge of starting to re-deliberate, and that list will only grow longer over the next few months. So having been very focused externally on listening, the board now is contemplating what we've heard and seeing how we move those projects forward. So a distinct change in our kind of working environment. So one project that we've been deliberating for some time is primary financial statements. And I'd really just like, Ryan, you're going to kick off with it, with perhaps some highlights in terms of the progress the board's been making there.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Can we start with slide 6, please? Okay, so good morning, everyone. Just as a recap, the objective of the project is to improve communication in the financial statements with a focus on information in the statement of profit or loss. And the main proposals relate to profit or loss subtotals and categories in the statement of profit or loss, aggregation and disaggregation, and management performance measures. So the board has been making very good progress in re-deliberating the proposals, and a summary of the re-deliberations to date begins on slide 10. So if you could jump to slide 10. So slide 10 is outlining the re-deliberations on subtotals and categories in the statement of profit or loss. The key points to note is that the board has decided to keep the requirement to present subtotals of operating profit or loss and profit or loss before financing and income taxes, as well as not to develop a direct definition for operating profit or loss, and to retain the proposal to introduce separate investing and financing categories. The board has also tentatively decided to drop the proposal to distinguish between integral and non-integral associates and joint ventures. Slide 11 is an overview of the redeliberations on disaggregation. The board has confirmed the general proposals for aggregation and disaggregation and proposed additional guidance to help with application. The board has agreed to explore retaining the proposal to require an entity to analyse and present operating expenses based on nature or function, but to withdraw the proposed prohibition on mixed presentation. In a future meeting, the board will consider further the requirement for the disclosure of information about operating expenses by nature when an entity presents an analysis of expenses by function. And it will also redeliberate the proposals on unusual items. Slide 12 outlines redeliberations on management performance measures. The board has confirmed that the entity will be required to disclose information about MPMs in the financial statements. But in order to maintain the focus of the project objective, the board has tentatively decided not to expand the scope of MPMs. At the September board meeting, the board began discussing public communications and other aspects of the definition, with follow-up discussion scheduled at the board meeting next week. At the October board meeting, the board tentatively decided to amend the specified subtotal operating profit or loss before depreciation and amortisation to exclude impairments of assets within the scope of IAS 36 and to label as operating profit or loss before depreciation, amortisation and specified impairments. So and with this, I end our project update.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Ryan. So is there any particular questions on what we've just heard in terms of the PFS update, either for Ryan or for Aida? I'd welcome those now before we move on. That doesn't seem to be the case. So thank you very, very much. So, as I say, the next few slides I don't plan to dwell on in terms of looking project by project where the board is redeliberating, but again, I welcome questions on those. The one that I wanted to highlight, because this is something that we have discussed with you before, is an amendment that is being made to IFRS 17. It's a narrow scope amendment. It's around the interaction between IFRS 17 and IFRS 9. Now these, as you'll be aware, insurers have had the option of delaying their first time adoption of IFRS 9 until they adopt IFRS 17. And what there is different treatment of comparable information between IFRS 9 and IFRS 17. So potentially the interplay between these circumstances would lead us to a situation where for the comparative period in the first year of IFRS 17, there would be various accounting mismatches. And so the board has proposed and has exposed and received feedback on what we call a classification overlay approach. And this presents entities, companies with the option to present their or classify their financial assets as if they had always been under IFRS 9. And so it eliminates those mismatches. We believe it will result in better information for users the first time that you start to see IFRS 17 numbers. But just to be clear, this only applies to the comparative information in the first year that IFRS 17 becomes effective. But we think it certainly adds value. So let me ask whether there are any other questions on the particular projects before we move on to, indeed, the current consultations that we have, before we move on to the agenda consultation. Okay, let's move on then. So, as I say, this is what we have here. Actually, is a preview on the papers that the board will be receiving and discussing at next week's board meeting. those papers are already available on our website if you'd like to go and see those. And really, what we'll be looking at is here's a high-level summary of the views that we've received through the agenda consultation, whether that's through comment letters, through surveys, through the outreach activities that we've taken. It's not an exhaustive summary, but it provides you with an overall sense. And secondly, just to remind you that the board's decisions here will be made both on the feedback that the board's heard, but also applying the criteria that the board set for assessing the priority of financial reporting issues. So this isn't just, I think Andreas has used the phrase, this isn't just a beauty contest where we count votes, but it's also looking at those criteria that we've also consulted on. And perhaps the third thing to remind you of, and this we've made clear before, is that the board has limited capacity to take on new projects during its next work plan from 2022 to 2026. And one message that we've heard loud and clear, including from users, is that we have to make sure we have sufficient time and capacity to ensure that we operate in a joined up fashion, a connected fashion, with our new sister board. So that's a further consideration. So just in terms of, you'll see there that the board is now in the process of starting its deliberations. And those are the three questions that we consulted on: the strategic direction and the balance of the board's activities, those criteria for assessing the priority of financial reporting projects, and then the piece that interests most people most, the new potential financial reporting issues for the board to prioritise. So if we step through those one at a time. First of all, in terms of the overall balance and strategic direction of the board, the key messages here were broadly that things are were probably okay as they are, but there's a little bit of emphasis, if anything, suggestion to decrease or leave unchanged the research and standard setting projects that the board undertakes its work there. Certainly a commitment to maintenance and consistent application, and a desire both to see an increase in resources towards digital financial reporting and improving the understandability and accessibility of our requirements. I think on the whole, in terms of stakeholder engagement, which does take up a substantial part of our resources already, the feedback was that people are very appreciative of the efforts that we put in here, and it's a credit to a lot of people also sat around the table today in terms of our endeavours there. But it was felt that that was probably about right at that level. So in terms of the second question, this was around the criteria that the board has for its projects. And that includes the importance of matters to users, but it also includes whether there's a deficiency in the way companies treat a transaction or activity in financial reports, the pervasiveness of an issue, and so on. The overall feedback from stakeholders was the sense that we had the right criteria here in considering which projects we should put onto our work plan. Also sensed that there was a feeling that we shouldn't add too many new projects to our work plan. It's important that we finished the existing projects that we had underway. We needed to leave capacity not only for interactions with the new board, but also with emerging issues, as the board has done over the last few years. So those were the strong messages. And then in terms of the projects that have really come through. The ones which are probably across most stakeholder groups that have risen to the top of priorities are listed on this page, simply in alphabetical order to avoid giving any preferential treatment, but climate-related risk, and that would include pollutant pricing mechanisms, cryptocurrencies, going concern, intangibles, and the cash flow statement. In addition to that, clearly users flagged a desire to look at segment reporting again. Now, as I mentioned, the board's capacity here in terms of taking on new projects is very tight. It seems, I think we said, I know we said in when we set out the request for information that we could take on 2 to 3 large projects, 4 to 5 medium projects, 7 to 8 small projects, or the equivalent mix, basically. So even in terms of the projects listed on this page, and it may not be these projects that go forward, the board will make a decision, it would seem unlikely to be able to accommodate all of these. So as I mentioned at the start, we'd very much like to offer you the opportunity, and I say this is probably your last opportunity before the board starts deliberating what it's heard through its outreach to let us know if there are any areas of emphasis that you'd particularly like to flag to us today. That would be very useful. So I open the floor for your comments.
Apologies, I've forgotten how to raise my hand.
So on that basis, Deirdre, we'll let you go first, but I will also remind you that so you just type in the chat if you want to speak. But
perfect, thank you.
Deirdre, over to you.
I suppose, from my perspective, the climate-related risks item that I think would be a priority for us. I did note the announcement around the SASB and yourselves and some of the other accounting bodies last week, I think it was, which will obviously be very helpful. But in terms of project, that would be one of the top priorities for us.
Great, thanks, Deirdre. And so this, just to be clear, this would be, as we set out in the agenda consultation, these are climate-related risks which relate to financial reporting as we currently have it defined. And obviously, I think, as you appreciate, a priority of the new board will be to have a standard on climate risk from a sustainability report, which would complement this. James, you have a question.
Something I've raised with you a few times, Nick. Statement of cash flows and related matters, will that include cash flow for banks and other financial institutions being revisited?
So in the request of information that we sent out in terms of a potential project description, it did include that as something that we would look. And so, yes, that could well fall within the remit of a project on the statement of cash flows.
Thank you.
Thanks, James. Larissa.
Actually, James and I seem to be aligned this morning. I was going to ask the same question, but with a specific focus on insurance, especially for two big reasons. The first one, that insurance balance sheets are very much blown up by policyholder assets and liabilities being on them. Being able to isolate the shareholder cash flow implications would be tremendously helpful. And then the second one is that with the implementation of IFRS 17, this may be a good time to revisit. So if you can consider that in the remit, I think that would be tremendously helpful to investors. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. Bertrand.
Yes. Just a few comments. In addition to the current projects, and in particular primary financial statements and goodwill, I agree that statement of cash flow is very important for the user. And as you also stated, segment reporting is also very important because we are dissatisfied currently with the way it's working.
Thank you, Bertrand. Do we have any other comments that anyone would like to make? As I say, this is your final call for views on the agenda consultation. Jeremy, thank you.
Just to add, I also think the segment project is very important, and maybe the general principle here is disaggregation. What granular information would be useful to investors and users to impact their investment decisions? So I think that falls in a general category.
Thanks, Jeremy. So I think if there are no... okay, and so we've had a couple of other comments, which I will relay because you know, this is a public meeting and our comments aren't in the public domain. So Philip mentions that he is very happy with the five topics that are listed on this slide here. And Joel concurs with Deirdre's comment that climate-related risks is a priority. So thank you to both of you for that input and addition. Okay, so if there are no further comments on the agenda consultation, let's move on briefly to what Deirdre alluded to, which was the announcement last week of a sister board, International Sustainability Standards Board. The slides here that we shared with you were slides which were produced and available to you before that announcement. So this is by some way of an update. So clearly the final determination, which was on the 3rd of November, Wednesday of last week, was that we would, the trustees had agreed, and that we would launch a new board. There were two other pieces of information, or key pieces of information, within that announcement. Firstly, that we would be also consolidating the activities of the Value Reporting Foundation, which includes SASB and the Integrated Reporting Framework, and also the Climate Disclosures Standard Board. And I think that's very important. I think for a long time we have been clear that we certainly didn't have the expertise in-house to move into this space and to be able to capture that those individuals, their skills, their intellectual capital, and enhance that within the IFRS Foundation is absolutely critical. And the third element was the publication of two prototypes. So one was a prototype that could form the basis of a climate risk standard, sustainability standard, and the second one was a prototype which could form the basis of a standard for around the general disclosures for sustainability reporting, and effectively the equivalent of what we have in financial reporting, an IS1 for sustainability reporting. And I think those last two items, the consolidation of the Value Reporting Foundation and CDSB and the publication of the prototypes, is very much in the response that we to what we heard from stakeholders is the need to give the new board a running start to capitalize on what's been achieved already by other organizations, to recognize that there is demand now for sustainability reporting on a consistent basis across the globe, and to actually help give that new board a running start. So, for instance, those prototypes, they've not been subject to process, they've not been subject to consultation. They will be presented or gifted to the new board, and it will be up to the new board to do what they like with those. But I'd imagine they may well form the basis of exposure drafts for that new board. Just a reminder, in terms of the key elements of the new board, it, like our own board, the International Accounting Standards Board, it is focused on the information needs of investors, and particularly this is expressed in the sustainability world in terms of material information that could influence enterprise value. It, as I say, it will start with climate, but one of the very clear messages that we heard from our early consultation is that it should not limit itself to climate. And in fact, the general requirements prototype would ask companies to report on their significant sustainability risks and opportunities straight away. It's intended to form a global baseline. This is an intention to provide global consistency, but also to allow jurisdictions to build on their own specific requirements, which are more attuned to policy issues than necessary having an investor focus. So to ensure there's interoperability between what may happen in other parts of the world. And finally, as I alluded to, very much a hope to build on the existing frameworks that are already out there rather than inventing something from scratch. So just finally, and again, this is we've rather moved on from here. There had been what was called a working group, a technical readiness working group put together involving representatives of our own board, but also of other organisations from the sustainability space, so including TCFD, the Value Reporting Foundation, CDSFB and the World Economic Forum, to really help to give the new board that running start. And that group has been focused on eight areas. The first two of those are the prototypes that I've referred to. Those can be found on our website today. They're publicly available. The other six streams, all of which are important, won't be public documents, but they'll be recommendations alongside the prototypes for the new board to consider. But again, trying to utilise the skills that are out there already of the existing sustainability organisations together with our own experience here to actually help the new board on its way. So again, I'll stop here, and if there are any questions on the new board, we'd be very happy to answer those now. Anthony, thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly, thank you.
Okay, great. I'm curious, it talks about the connectivity between the two boards. What specifically does that mean? Will they meet together? How will it operate from the standpoint of making decisions and the impact that it'll have on each board?
So I think that's an area where we've heard very clearly it's important that there's coordination and collaboration between the two boards. It's, of course, difficult to speak how this will operate in practice when we don't have our sister board yet, and no one's been appointed to that board, so we have to be careful not to speak for them. I don't think at this stage that it's envisaged that there will be necessarily joint meetings. There may be potentially joint projects, and one which we've talked about has been around management commentary. We also know that intangibles is something that's been flagged as an area of high interest through the agenda consultation, and clearly there is a significant overlap between particularly the S in ESG and intangibles more generally. So I think it's about understanding what each of those boards are working on, ensuring that we have compatible requirements, ensuring that we're not duplicating each other, that we are sharing and cross-pollinating information. Importantly, it's also about understanding what we're asking our stakeholders to be. What we see in practice is a convergence of, for instance, within companies, it's now from the finance area that's been given responsibility for sustainability reporting. That seems to be a growing trend. And so we have to be cognizant that we are not overloading our stakeholders with consultation. So I think it's at this stage there has been thought around this. As I say, there's a high level of commitment to this, but how that actually works in practice, really, we have to wait for our sister board to be in place to agree those issues.
But ultimately, the plan is to have a separate set of standards that will end up with a separate set of financial statements or whatever we're going to call them when they're done.
Yeah, so you'll see that we are now moving, so our standards will become IFRS accounting standards, and the standards of the new boards will become IFRS sustainability disclosure standards. So they will be separate. Now, clearly, sometimes you end up with overlap and not so much through measurement and recognition. That will be where the existing board works. But in disclosure, certainly, the areas where we need to make sure that we are compatible and we're coordinated in that respect.
But it's interesting that you just say that it's only disclosure.
That yeah, from That is certainly, we don't see, but by contrast, by what I mean by measurement and recognition is that things would go onto the balance sheet. That will remain, if it's appropriate that something is sustainability related, it could be climate related, it could be something, let's say it becomes a provision that we feel there's enough certainty about or liability, that would still fall within the remit of the existing board. So we're not saying that climate goes to the new board and the existing board has nothing to say on climate. As you know, our requirements today already apply to climate-related risks. So I think, you know, drawing a line between the two boards won't be thematic. It will be in terms of, you know, particularly for us where there are measurement and recognition criteria. That's what will continue to drive our work. That's, many of these things could fall into the remit of financial reporting today if it weren't for the definitions of assets, liabilities, and the recognition criteria.
Yes.
Over time, some of them could move, you know, is the sense of materiality is dynamic. If governments start saying there will be regulation or taxation around climate-related risks, they could very easily then fall into the remit of financial reporting.
Okay. Thank you for that color, Nick.
Great. James, you have a question.
Just wondering if the intention is that it will have its own separate Capital Markets Advisory Committee, the ISSB, so, I mean.
Yeah, no, thanks, James. Good question. So the intention is to, first of all, that we clearly, it's important that we do have user input, both as we do into this board and into the new board. I don't think any firm decision's been made yet. We observed that the Value Reporting Foundation and the Climate Disclosure Standards Board have their own well-established initiatives in terms of engaging with users and preparers. And we'll also look to leverage those on a going forward basis. But we haven't made any formal decision as to whether there will be a CMAC per se for sustainability reporting. You appreciate that this initiative was only started just over a year ago. I think credit to others in this building, but a tremendous amount has been achieved over that period to be able to be in a position to launch the new board last week. But there's still some things which we now need to go back and consider, and how we work with stakeholders will be one of those.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, James. Any other questions? So let me just ask if there are any questions on anything else in the update, any of the particular projects, or any of the other topics that we've touched on before we close this part of our proceedings. Doesn't seem to be the case, I think. Oh, I do actually. Philip, you've just got in there. Philip, over to you.
Thanks, Nick. I did have a question earlier. I was going to ask if the new board was in place yet, but you answered that along the way. But just wondering what the timescale maybe is for the new board to sort of be constituted and start work on all of this.
Yeah. the hope, and it's hope, I would say, is to be in a position to announce a chair and one or two vice chairs by the end of the year. That is the hope. Please don't come back to us if we don't quite achieve that, but that's the plan. And also start the process of recruiting board members as well. The intention is to be a 14-person board, so the same as the existing board. There are specific elements within the constitutional changes that the trustees have made that allow the chair and the vice chairs to get started on some of the work of the new board. So, for instance, those individuals could decide to publish the exposure draft on a climate-related standard and on the general requirement standard to actually get the process up and running. So there's some specific issues that allows that new board to get into operation quite quickly. There are also, if I recall correctly, clauses in the Constitution that allow it to move into operation with perhaps a smaller number of members than it would be fully constituted. So again, we recognise that there is, and we heard very strongly, in fact, this is what has driven the foundation to get involved, a very strong demand for sustainability standards and an urgent demand. So a desire to get on with this, but at the same time to ensure that we do follow due process. All of this will be under the scrutiny of our trustees and the due process committee in particular. So whatever our potential standards, everyone will have a chance to have their say on them. They will go through a consultation process, and the board will consider that feedback before finalising any standard, as we do today. Jeremy, you have a question.
Thank you, Nick. I'm just wondering, in the next 5 years, is there any sense of how much time the board will spend on this connectivity as a proportion of its overall efforts? I know that's a difficult one, but yeah. Just an indication, yeah.
No, I think what we're going to have to find out is how it works in practice. It's very hard to say. There's some natural points of connectivity, which actually may be more synergies than kind of a time burden. So, as I mentioned, management commentary could be one of them. Intangibles could be another one. I think also what we've heard is that connectivity goes beyond just the relationship between the two boards, but also a desire to see more connected reporting by corporates, joining the dots between sustainability reporting and what's been traditional financial reporting. The board will consider, as it re-deliberates the agenda consultation, a time allocation for connectivity between itself and our new sister board. But I think to put a number on it would be spurious, at least today anyway. Great. I think then that it was like Joel. Over to you, Joel.
Thank you. A quick one as well. Just if you have already envisaged some sort of relationship already between the ISSB disclosures and other board disclosures that are already sort of in place or being planned as well, such as TCFD disclosures, and how will that play out together, basically, if there is also concern about too much disclosure being required or too many options for companies, and how they will deal with those different sets of disclosures.
I mean, I think that will play out in essence through what we hear back. Well, first of all, there will be coordination, and we'll be looking to ensure that what we have is compatible, and that there isn't duplication between the two sets of standards. I think beyond that, that plays out in terms of what we hear back from feedback, in terms of do we have the right set of disclosures? Are these providing relevant information for users? Clearly, there's always a cost-benefit consideration that we weigh up as a board, and no doubt the new board will weigh up. TCFD is an important element of this as a disclosure framework. I think that's something that the working group establishes has sought to leverage as a general framework for reporting on these issues. But I think we're just going to have to see. I mean, Andreas, is there anything you want to add further on that at this stage? Or?
Well, I think you covered it very well. It's very difficult, and as you say, spurious to just peek ahead. I think what's more important to us is actually to have consistent and coherent information that's being produced for users of financial statements. Whether that particular set of information is then developed by the other board or by us, I think, is of secondary nature. But what is important is that we work from the same principles so as to not create any speed bumps, any overlap or any gaps in the reporting. I think that's really what we are striving at.
Perfect. Thank you. Great. Okay. I think we're probably good then to move on to our next topic, which is around goodwill and impairment. So welcome the team to join us.